Okay, so this is the latest. Go ahead, Milton, if you have.
Okay, well, this is a question that's reformulated. Most of the edits were simply improved language and more precise specification of the nature, the part of the proposal we took it from. So this is basically the same question with, as I said, some improved language. I don't suppose you want me to read it, so you can all read it yourselves on the list or up there on the screen. It's basically citing that part of their proposal that talks about the root zone maintenance and IANA functions operator roles and asks whether whether the CWG also intended to imply that ICANN or the IFO should not become the root zone maintainer without the proposal to make that change first being subject to a wide community consultation. And we also asked them what they mean by a wide community consultation. So in terms of the, who was it that suggested that we ask ourselves how difficult it would be to answer these questions? Is this the Mundy scale? On the Mundy scale of 1 to 10, I would give this a 3. In the sense that I think it fundamentally is clarifying what their intentions were rather than rethinking what they proposed. But there is some potential for fractures of how people might interpret that, but I don't think those things will crop up based on my reading. And also, I think if the people who are integrated with the names OC can make it clear how many public comments were concerned about this, I think there would be even less trouble coming up with an answer to this that basically says, yes, there would need to be a community consultation.
So by implication, do you think that the time frame for response here could be our preferred by October 7, but acceptable by October 14, assuming we send it today or tomorrow or something?
Yeah, I think if by expected by ICANN 54 means October 14th at the latest, is that what you're asking me? Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's about all we could expect.
Okay. Sorry, I jumped the queue. I think you have a queue.
I hope I'm not running the queue.
I can run the queue if you would like.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Joe.
Thank you, Joseph Aldef. I guess I have a question, not about any of the substance of the question. I think the substance of the question is perfectly fine. But the question says we want the answer to this question. And I'm not sure what we do with the answer to this question since we've decided it's not in our scope to deal with the issue. I thought we needed the question to be answered so that the community got the answer because it was clear to us that this was a question of the community. We were forwarding it as a relevant question of the community that is relevant to a process that is not ours. So in some ways, I would expect NTIA to be given the answer and us to be copied on it, or the NTIA and the two contracting parties to be given the question for the answer and us to be copied on the answer. But the way it's phrased is we are the exclusive person requesting the answer, and I'm not sure that makes perfect sense to me because I don't know what we do with the answer.
Well, we could say the public comment period raised questions for the CWG, but I think, number one, the answer is it's important for the CWG itself to clarify. We've already heard again from Keith Davidson that certain stakeholders, if this question is answered in a certain way, could withdraw support for their proposal. And the message needs to go to the NTIA that in terms of how they handle the modification of the root zone maintainer function, that it should be done in a way that is consistent with the CWG proposal. And the CWG proposal means that you can't change those roles and you can't merge those functions into ICANN without either wide consultation or consensus or both. Then I think a lot of people who made those comments will feel that their comments have been addressed.
Yeah, I don't, as I said, I didn't disagree with an iota of the substance of the comment. So where on all fours that this question needs an answer, absolutely. Where on all fours that this question was asked legitimately within our comment process. The question is, if we see a dependency between the answer to this question and our ICG process, then absolutely the answer comes to us. But when we were having the conversation and I mentioned there could be dependencies, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of appetite for highlighting this as a specific dependency. I don't have a problem if we agree that this is a dependency, we want an answer, then I think the question is phrased correctly. If the answer is we were only passing this along because it wasn't part of our process, then I think the phrasing just has to be that this is being sent, it's relevant to our process for us to be aware of, but we're not taking any action related to it. So it's just a question as to form, and I know we're running short on time, so I don't want to labor this because at the end of the day, this is not a fall on your sword issue for me, but it was just, I wanted to make sure we're addressing the answer to the right community.
Well, I don't think there's any question that there are dependencies. We state that in the write-up that I did, which we still have to revise in that memo that I did, which was discussed this morning. So the NTIA recognized that aspects of the INF functions contract are inextricably intertwined with the VeriSign cooperative agreement, and we assert that it's difficult to assess the ICG proposal's impact without knowing how these roles or if these roles will be modified.
Daniel, and then Russ Mundy.
Daniel Kahnbeck, thank you. What Joe said, basically, and as a suggestion for a way forward, I think this needs to be bookended by first motivation of the of this. It shouldn't start, the ICG has a question, it should start, we have received comments in this vein, and therefore we think this needs to be clarified. And the other bookend at the end needs to be, and I'm totally with Joe here, is that what the disposition of the answer would be. I think from the discussion that I've heard here in this room, I think if we say we received these public comments and these comments, and therefore we raise this question, or this needs to be clarified, we can say at the end that it needs to be clarified outside our process, and we have no disposition for the answer, so we will not take action on the answer. And I think those two things are essential. I would be very uncomfortable if this went out like this. Besides, it's very impolite to just barge into it and say we have a question. Yeah. And I agree with what Kavush said earlier. You know, a reply is expected is not the right way to phrase this either. So that needs to be improved.
Okay. So
yeah. So the reply is expected is in brackets. We had a humorous conversation about that this morning. So you're basically saying you want me to put based on comments received before the ICG has a question?
My suggestion was to say the ICG thinks that this issue needs to be clarified. And my rationale for this is it's not our question because we have no disposition for the answer. We just think it needs to be clarified and other people have to hear the answer, not us.
And by ICG disposition, what do you mean exactly? You mean
what do we do when we receive the answer? And as Joe has said, there's not much we can do.
Go ahead, Russ Mundy.
Yeah, Russ Mundy for the record. I think I have the answer for what we do with the answer that comes back. And what we do is have some text in our summary of public comments as to whatever we hear back. And, you know, we're not going to, if you will, do anything actively with it or in terms of telling somebody they can or can't do something, but we write it down in our summary. And obviously, the summary of public comments will be available to NTIA, and I expect them to read them. So I think that's a reasonable thing to do with the response.
Cavus.
Yes, I once again agree with Daniel that we don't have a question, but we receive a question. Perhaps we should say, in examining the comment received by ICG, the following question were raised or was raised, and then we table the question, and at the end said that CWG is requested to comment on the matter for any further action, comma, as appropriate. Who take the action, we don't know, but we ask them to comment on the matter. And we say that in examining the comments, we have encountered or we have considered or we have faced or we have identified the following question and raised the question and then ask them clarifications or comments for any further action, comma, as appropriate. Thank you.
Go ahead, Milton.
So I've modified the first sentence as follows. Based on comments received in the ICG's public comment period, the ICG seeks clarification from the CWG on the following matter. Blah, 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 blah. And by the way, the idea that these subtle changes in, I don't know, language are going to, like, shake the earth, I don't know, it's just...
Okay. So...
What is the end of the paragraph?
Was that?
Yeah. Further clarification for any subsequent actions or if required or as appropriate, that we don't take any actions, but if required by somebody.
To repeat what you said the first time, precisely as you said it 3 minutes ago.
3 minutes ago, that CWG is requested to provide comments or clarification for any further action, comma, as appropriate. We may not take action, but someone else may take actions. Thank you.
So, last sentence now is, the CWG is requested to provide comment or clarification for any further action as appropriate.
Yeah, for any further action, comma, as appropriate.
So my suggestion, I'm sort of wondering if we would close on this now. It sounds like we need to do a little more tweaking, potentially, and let people look at it and not just edit it through the air. So take Kavus's suggestion into account and recirculate on the list, and hopefully we can close on this on the list in the next couple days. That's my suggestion. We have a few other things we need to cover, and we have 70 minutes left. Okay, so let us return to the topic of completeness, because that's one thing we said we were going to do today. So yesterday when we were talking about completeness, we got into this whole discussion about all of the implementation items and prioritizing them and so on. There are a couple things that we need to do, I think. We have a section in Part 0 that talks about whether the proposal is complete, and we asked the community that same question, and we got a lot of responses. So one thing we need to do is figure out if we need to summarize the responses in the summary document. I would say probably yes is the answer to that. We need to decide whether there's something we need to write in the proposal itself about its completeness. I think, again, my answer would be yes, although I'm not sure what we say precisely or what we would change from what we already have there. And then there's a question about providing, if the ICG has any role in laying out what all the implementation steps are, what their ordering will be, or prioritizing them. So to me, those are the three key questions. We don't have to know what we're going to say necessarily for each of those three, but I think the first question is, do we need to do any or all of those things? Daniel, are you in the queue, or is that from before?
It was from before, but this is Daniel. It was from before, but I'll just try to give a first shot at the answer to your question. I think we need to, we definitely need to address the completeness comments that we got. I think it would be a gaping hole if we didn't. I think, as they are projected, number one is a no-brainer because that's just what we intend to do anyway. So we've said actually in the proposal, so people who make these comments are reemphasizing what we're saying, you know, that this needs to be done before. And to me personally, the rest of them just look like implementation issues. And if we get sort of rough consensus on that, then we're basically done with this. Just somebody needs to write it up, and I'm not volunteering.
Okay. Thank you. Joe.
Thanks, Joe Aladeff. I think yes as to summarization. I think if we have the raw material where we could develop the inventory of what the implementation elements are, that's fine. I'm not sure that we do, but I think we probably around the table have the expertise to do that. But then I don't think we are in any position to prioritize implementation steps. I don't think we have the knowledge, and I don't think it's within our remit. I think to the extent that that question needs to be answered, it needs to be answered back to the communities, and I don't think it impacts their proposal. I think it's just a question of saying these things we think need to be done in this order, if that's something they can say. So I think one is only in our remit. Two is likely in our remit, but we might need to call out for help on completeness, or at least make sure people validate that we got the list right. And then three is, I think, absolutely outside of our remit.
Anyone disagree with that? Milton.
No, I'm. Where does this list 1, 2, 3 coming from?
Sorry. So number one is the three were the three tasks. The first one was, do we need to summarize these comments in the summary document? The second one was, do we need to create the inventory of implementation issues, which we already did a little bit in the proposal, but it's not complete. And number three is, do we attempt to prioritize them, which was a request from at least one comment. So go ahead.
So, yeah, I don't think we need to prioritize them. I don't think anybody, except maybe Elise, proposed that we prioritize them. I think the question is, do we serve as a clearinghouse for the resolution and communication of these issues after we've created this list in number two?
Go ahead, Elise.
I just want to note that I did bring it up in the meeting. However, I believe the ICANN board sent in a formal response in the comment period with that. So it's also one of the comments from the multi-stakeholder group.
Yep. Okay. Keith,
Keith Davidson. Just in terms of the summarise, I guess it depends what you're going to do with the document. If the document's going to be publicly available, then I think we do need to summarise and incorporate the additional comments that have come in along the way. Otherwise, it's appearing that we're ignoring the submissions of some that have raised some fairly valid issues that we've discussed along the way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the intent, is for it to be part of this public document. Daniel. Joe, are you still in the queue? Okay, Daniel and then Joe.
Just to talk to Alyssa's 1, 2, and 3, I fully agree one needs to be done. I think we should do, because we already have some of these things, and as you say, we have the expertise around the table, but we should be very careful in giving it, to not give it the appearance that it's a plan, and also not give it the appearance that it's a complete list. So I'd formulated something like this: we should summarize all the implementation steps that we are aware of at this point, and not put them into a time sequence. Not give it a, you know, like, this is the implementation plan, and we should very carefully say, this is the list that we're aware of, and it doesn't make any claim to be complete. And number 3, no, totally outside our remit.
Joe.
Thank you, Jess Valadoff. It was actually just to get a clarification from Milton on his last point of when you said being around to make sure that the implementation occurs, would that then potentially conflict with implementation perhaps occurring after our lifespan is exhausted? So that was just a question, because I think some of these implementation, the ones that are there before transition are likely to occur while we are still here, but there are some that are going to be occurring afterwards, and I don't think we can take any responsibility for those. So I was just clarifying that you weren't meaning a longer term than presumed.
I think you're getting into the topic of how long we exist, and I thought we had agreed to defer that issue.
Yes, we did. So right now we're just talking about what do we need to write down in text. Caboose.
Yes, in order to address the issue raised by Daniel, perhaps we should put at the beginning of the list or somewhere saying following are or includes and not limited, and add without any order of priority nor with any dates of priority or priority dates. We just list them as a list, as a shopping list. Thank you.
Yep, good points. So I think people are generally in agreement about what the course of action is here. We have two things that need to happen. We need a summary of the comments written, and we need the inventory of the implementation steps appropriately caveated. Does anyone want to take that on before I try to identify someone? The person who I was going to name is just said no. Really, Russ Mundy? You were my person, then I was going to ask for this. We haven't actually given you that many items lately.
but I have as the chair of ESSAC.
Oh. Your boss is going to complain to me here now.
No, move on, sorry. And when do we need the output by?
So we're going to talk about that shortly, but provisionally, what I've been thinking is all of the summary tasks would be October 6, which is a while, since that document potentially doesn't really need to be done as soon. And the inventory list, that's a good question. Would be on the next Sunday timeline, like September 27. You're allowed to say no.
The next week for me is just
okay.
Unbelievable.
I
really can't
try to find someone offline. But okay, I'll do that when we take a little break. So that brings us to the set of things we haven't talked about yet, which starts on some other slide. Could we go to slide 36, please? So, process issues. This came up briefly earlier today, and you can tell this was like the very late part of the night when I was putting the slide deck together. I ran out of energy. So there were some commenters who raised issues about the processes that were run. And I didn't have time to summarize the comments, but so it's sort of the same questions. I think we certainly need to summarize them for the summary document. But the question is whether there's anything we need to say in the proposal itself in response to commenters who criticized the process or who lauded the process. So that's the question. Joe, did you want to speak to this? I know that you had focused on this a little bit in terms of what people thought of the process.
Well, I think the major complaints related to the process were issues that actually were raised to us before we finished this proposal. And in at least one of those cases, those issues were then forwarded to the communities, and the decision was they were addressed. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure. There were not as many process issues in the other ones that I read. That doesn't mean they didn't exist in other ones. I will say I didn't make an effort to capture all the people who said nice things about our process, so we may need to go back and do a little spelunking if we're going to try to capture the commitment of people to our good things, because I was taking the glass half empty approach to the comments, not the glass half full approach. And so, you know, but I unless a lot of other comments came up with process issues, I don't think that was the major problem that the comments raised. The only other issue, which is a little unrelated to process, was the issue from a couple of comments related to linguistic timing, cost of participation in the process, which are just structural elements of the process that you can't avoid. Again, something I don't know that we can deal with.
Milton?
Yeah, I paid a lot of attention to the process comments when I was processing the comments. It's getting late. And there's basically three sorts of comments that we might want to pay attention to. One of them are the people who reject the legitimacy of the entire process because the U.S. government set the parameters. And then there are a couple of developing world commentators who said, you know, we don't understand what's going on. We don't feel like we had the full opportunity to grasp this and participate. And there's two or three of those. And there are multiple, maybe a dozen or more explicit expressions of how inclusive and diversified the participation was, which I could pluck out and send you if you want specifics, or you could just make the more general statement, which is, I guess, where we were going. So that's my overview of it. Surprisingly, there's no very specific things, you know, in the numbers OC, this particular thing happened, but I think those were caught at the first stage rather than at this stage, right?
Okay. Milton, if you are willing to do that, I think I can I can take on the task of synthesizing that into some words. But if you're willing to do the list of them for me, since you read the comments in detail, that would be great.
You want a list of what exactly? The particular commenters and the nature?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And if you have some classification, like these were the people who thought the process went well, that would be helpful. So I'll take that as an action. Okay. Seeing no other hands go up on this, we can move to the next slide, Yanis. Great. So we also asked a question about the institutionalization of the NTIA criteria over time. Does anyone who any of the reviewers who reviewed a lot of comments want to speak to this? Again, this I didn't really have time to make a summary slide. This was the end of everything.
Sorry, I'm working on the process comments. I'm tuning you out.
I was going to suggest also that I can take the action on this one and try to write the summary, since this is part of that defense of the proposal thing that we need to do. Okay. I'll do that then, so I'll take that one. Then we have the editorial things, which is in a different part of the deck. Oh, you guys are so on top of it. Okay. So we did have a couple of requests that were much more sort of editorial in nature, and I don't know that we need to go through them point by point here. I was, again, thinking that I could look back at the text and, maybe we should actually go through them point by point because they're each a little bit different. So the first one, this actually would go, letter A would go with whoever's going to create the inventory of implementation issues, I think, because this was a point raised by the IETF that there were some things missing from the implementation issues list. So that, I think, goes together with whoever takes that action. The second one, someone noted that the IETF proposal itself is a draft that is expired, because that's what happens to drafts when they don't get published as RFCs, they expire. Go ahead, Yari, do you want to speak to this?
They don't actually expire, it just has an expiration date.
It
doesn't expire in the state that it's in the process, just to be clear.
Right. So can you just clarify that it will remain with an expiration date that's in the past until after we are done with our process, correct? Just in case.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Nobody thinks it's a problem. Okay. Good. We got a suggestion that the diagram that we included, which came from X-Plane, was not clear in the sense that the arrows between the operational communities and PTI versus ICANN were not all quite lining up to what the proposal itself actually says. So this one, again, I'm happy to take that on, having worked with X-Plane on that diagram at length, and I can make a proposal back to the list, and particularly to the numbers folks, since it was related to something unclear about the numbers relationship. Everyone's okay with that? Okay. Then the last one, it's not really an editorial issue, but I didn't know where else to stick it. There were a bunch of comments about freedom and free speech in relationship to the IANA functions. And I thought it's possible there were enough of these that something needed to be clarified, but I wanted to hear from folks who read more of these and if anyone thinks anything needs to be clarified in this respect. Cavus, go ahead.
Attending the working party four of CCWG, which partly addressing this issue after tens and tens of meetings and hundreds of pages of background document, there is no conclusion rather than a very high level statement and so on and so forth. So I don't know how we want to address this issue. So I don't think that we need to take any action on that. Thank you.
Joe.
Yeah, the majority of the comments I read that raised free speech did it in that any transition of IANA would harm free speech, and then that was repeated in every category as part of the answer to every question, which does not, to me, raise to the level of something that necessarily needs to be responded to. But the one question is in the editorial issues, and I don't remember the number of this document, but I remember there was in one submission a really big thing about the inclusion of a document that they didn't want to have included, ICP-1 or some thing of that nature, and just a question. Oh, you're ready? Okay. If that was dealt with, then I'll stand down. But I just remember that was a significantly large issue in one of the editorial requests. But as far as the free speech things, I don't... You know, I think in some things, some of these are just out of scope because they just go against the entire structure of the concept. And I don't think those are necessarily comments we need to deal with. But I do think at some point we need to talk about some things were out of scope because we seem to have taken that off the table as one of our comment parameters. And I think out of scope is a comment parameter that is useful also.
Okay, thank you. Keith Drazik.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa. Keith Drazik for the transcript. Following on Kavus's comments and also I think supporting Joe's, the topic of freedom of expression and free flow of information is something that has been discussed in the CCWG accountability. It's a topic that actually, if you go back to NTIA's testimony at some of the congressional hearings a year ago, that Larry Strickling actually referred to the freedom of expression and the free flow of information specifically in his testimony in the context of the NTIA's criteria, openness of the internet and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably where the linkage came from, but I think it is more appropriately addressed in the CCWG accountability and not in the, in coming into the ICG. So I think it's reasonable to acknowledge this, say it's out of scope for the ICG in our work, and refer it to the ongoing human rights discussions that are taking place in the accountability working group. Thanks.
Okay, that seems like a reasonable way forward. Kavus, are you back in the queue?
Yes, because I think I heard that you want to take action on that.
Or? No. No. Okay. No. It's, acknowledge that we received the comments and that's it. So, I think the action there is to acknowledge receipt of the comments related to freedom and free speech in the summary document. And we'll find an owner for that. Okay. That brings us back to broad community support, which is somewhere else in the deck. Way at the beginning. Eight, I think it's slide eight. Okay, well, this question is not phrased so well anymore. So maybe we should have rephrased. I think the question we wanted to come back to was, do we think the proposal has broad community support? Because now we may be in a position to answer that. We have been through all of the categories of comments that came out of the analysis. So unless anyone has a comment that they feel that wasn't addressed, we can talk about this. Go ahead, Kavus.
Yes, this is a question came to our mind. What is the criteria of broad support? 80%, 75%, 100%? What is the criteria? Thank you.
Thanks. Daniel, are you in the queue to answer that? Go ahead.
Sure. Our charter is to produce this document, and actually our charter mentions, I don't have it on my screen right now, something about the process and the support. It is not operationalized in terms of percentages. It's operationalized in terms of asking us to make that determination. And that's, I think, why Elissa put it on here. So to answer Kavus's question, I think it's subjective for each and every individual in this room. But as a collective, we have to get consensus that this is the case. Otherwise, we cannot proceed. So, yeah, it's subjective. So that's my personal answer to Kavus's question. So getting to answer the question, I've thought about this long and hard personally. I've talked with and I've witnessed the development of the proposals very closely in two of the operational communities. I've reviewed, the majority of the public comments that we've had. I've made myself available in various fora to hear people's opinions about this. Specifically, as our proposal got more mature, both separately in the operational communities, and then as we have collated it, and my personal judgment is that yes, this has broad, wide, high, and all dimensions. It has community support in all dimensions. So I believe we can move forward.
Thank you. Lynn?
Lynn Sainamore. I was actually going to refer to the consensus building document that we used for ICG, which Kavus was actually instrumental in pulling together. And I think there's a useful description there which says, I won't read the whole paragraph, but basically, determinations of consensus do not fit into formula, and the concept of what is a small minority will need to be determined on a case-by-case basis. It just goes on to say, I think more relevantly, while consensus of all stakeholder communities is the objective, it seems clear from the NTIA requirements that the objection of a majority of an operational community will preclude the ability. Sorry, I'm actually reading from the wrong parts. Let me just stop and say that I think actually the notions we had about how we determine consensus and what we were looking for in the processes from the OCs as they determine consensus can be applied to this work here. And I do think that we have met that, and that, in fact, does enjoy a broad level of support.
Thank you, Lynn. Kavus?
Yes, my difficulty from the very beginning was this NTIA expression, broad community support, which was undefined and very vague. So if we avoid to refer to broad, saying that based on the common received, the view of the ICG is that support for the proposal is achieved or is meant or for something like this, but without talking about broad support, because it is difficult to say broad support. We have to mention it is dependent on the case-by-case issue, subject-by-subject, but we should not talk about broad support because we will be asked what is the broad support. In fact, I have been asked in many areas by the people that what do you, ICG, believe broad support, and my reply was that this is not the text of ICG, this is the text of the NTIA. They said the broad support, and I don't know what they mean by broad support. But we put it in a more cautious manner, not saying that we have any interpretation what is broad support is. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. I mean, I think one thing we could do is describe the breadth of the support if we wanted to, because we got comments from all different kinds of commenters. I would say. So that's one thing. We could try to be descriptive if we wanted to explain what the breadth of the support looks like to us. Martin.
Thanks, Alyssa. Martin Boyle here. Yeah, I'm sorry, I actually quite like your proposal as a way of moving forward. I think, though, there's also the fact that the three operational communities themselves have been through processes that were essentially based on developing consensus proposals. And that, in my mind, is actually very important. It goes back to the fact that, you know, even with all the difficult discussions that we've had in CWG, that we've never, ever had to resort to voting. It's always been a coming to that balanced decision. So I think that is something that is worth reflecting. And then the second thing I think is of going through the proposals, and I'm sure I saw one of your charts that did this, that gave you some sort of idea of how much the comments that we received were supportive of that outcome. And again, without actually wanting to go into definition of the broadness of the support that there was from that, something that was very much more than just a bare majority of getting through, and it came from across a wide range of the communities. So, and that's where I'd link back to your suggestion, which I think is admirable. Thank you.
Thanks. Joe?
Thank you, Jess Valadoff. I'd actually go one step further back than Martin, and that is the composition of this group and the fact that this group has been liaising with its stakeholder communities, and those stakeholder communities have had an opportunity to interact through this group throughout the entire process. So we didn't just limit ourselves to the fact that, I mean, we had an interactive process among the stakeholders that are represented in this group. The communities then did their own outreach processes, and finally there was an open consultation process related to the final proposal itself that was the amalgam of the three proposals that already had gotten endorsement through an open community-based process. So I think this is a very much belt and suspenders exercise that can be highly touted in its procedural forms that actually were all designed to develop perhaps to Cavusa's point, what we can talk about is there was a broad community exposure, and then we can say that there was a majority of people that supported the proposal as a result of the comments we have seen, because I think the breadth of the exposure was very substantial without having to make a judgment on characterizing the support as being broad or not.
Lynn, are you still in the queue? No. Okay. Cavus.
Yes, let me repeat what I said in CCWG. If you ask a politician a question, he never say yes or no. If it is a French, says écoutez. If it's English, says well, but never say yes or no. So we, ICG, should not directly reply to that. That has broad community support or not. We have no problem to refer to the support of communities, operational communities. That is no doubt they have supported. But broad community support means beyond that. So we should try to not directly answer that question. Put in a way that it is descriptive, but not yes and no answers.
Okay. I think we're actually... Go ahead.
Michael Newell. I'm just wondering, it's not about formulation, it's also of giving the message that the NTIA needs to say our criteria are met. So are we satisfied with the diplomatic formulation that this is the message that is needed?
I think some of this might shake out when we actually have words written down in front of us, possibly. Because I think I am hearing support for us to describe support. Let me try that again. I think the people in the room are in favor of us describing what we think the support for the proposal is. And I think from that it will be quite clear to anyone who wants, or I shouldn't say it will be clear, but anyone who wants to then pass judgment about its breadth can do so. And I believe these words will be under a heading that we already have in the document called broad community support. So I think we can finesse this in such a way that everyone is satisfied with what we say, and that we reflect, I think, what Joe and others have said, which is that we all come from communities where many people seem to be in favor of this thing. So we can say that more eloquently. I see no other hands going up. Caboose, is your hand still up? Or no, you're done. Okay. Okay. So I believe we have an action item to describe the community support for the proposal. And I think this one goes to the chairs because we already said that we were going to do this yesterday, essentially. So, okay. So with that, let us take a 10-minute break. We will work on all of the action items and the wrap-up, and we will come back with a list of what needs to happen next and what we're going to do going forward. That's right. Okay. So we'll be back at 4:35. You have 7 minutes. All right, we're going to wrap up here. So please come on back and find out what action items we assigned to you while you were chatting. Mm-hmm. We set a record. I know, really, it's like musical chairs for action items. We set a record. We have 20 action items coming out of this meeting. So it's pretty fun times. Plus the ones from yesterday. That's true. There's 20 action items. This is only from today? 20 from today? Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So we have separated these into three buckets according to the timing. First priority are the ones that may result in us communicating something back to the operational communities. So as discussed, if we need to do that and we want feedback from them before Dublin, we need to do that very quickly. So here we have the ones that people took. Milton has the RZM one. We have the subteams for all the PTI tasks. Martin took the one about CCTLD issues. And then we had an editorial thing on one of the slides. So just quickly, does anyone think there's... We will wordsmith these a little bit more because we did this very quickly. But is there anything missing as regards to something we might do that will generate... that could generate a communication with the operational communities? Okay. Ah, okay. So we just need to confirm that people are ready for that to go. Okay, I'll just respond and ask for objections. Yeah. Okay. All right. So then moving on, the next set are the ones where people have signed up to write text for part zero of the proposal. So these are the ones where we're giving people essentially a week, a little more than a week, to get an initial draft of this so that we can then have some back and forth on our mailing list before the call and try to hopefully finalize a bunch of these bits of text. One thing we didn't really talk about is sort of the group editing of this. I would suggest that people, when you're doing this, send in, you know, separate documents. Don't edit directly on the Word version of the proposal because the formatting is sensitive. We'll have when we're all done with these, we'll have the secretariat incorporate them together. Yeah, exactly. Going to be another late night. Okay, so that's basically a week from today. There's a whole bunch of those. Anything missing? Okay. Then the third set, so these are the ones for the summary document. And so we put the deadline a little further out on these so that everyone isn't working on all their things at once. My assumption has been we may be able to, quote-unquote, finalize the summary document in around the same time that we are meeting in Dublin, but if it takes a little bit longer, that's not the end of the world either. So we can take a little more time with this one. And Lynn has graciously agreed to at least take a first cut at the completeness one. So thank you, Lynn. I owe Lynn a drink in Dublin. These are all October 6th. Yeah. So this is a couple weeks out. Yeah, good question. We put a question to the communities about whether the three proposals are compatible and interoperable. That's what it is. Yeah. We'll edit these so they make sense, but we just tried to capture the gist. Okay. So then, right, our decisions that were taken. We decided that we're going to aim to get the proposal into a perhaps not completely final, but almost as final as possible state in Dublin. I'm not sure about the second sentence of that first decision, actually. I don't think we actually did that. I think it's just the first sentence, yeah. We have tabled our discussion about the role of... Can you actually live edit that so people don't get confused? Yeah, you can take it down and edit if you would like. Yeah. We can talk through the other two in the meantime. So the second one was we were tabling our discussion about the role of implementation until Dublin. And then finally, I just wanted to note, Manal has very graciously agreed to co-edit the summary document with you, Joe. So you have that filled in.
Could we actually have the same process? Because folks might be using different templates and things like that, that they submit their versions to the secretariat to kind of create the master. And then we'll edit the master?
Yeah, that's fine. Although I would say just people should send them to the list. So
yeah, but I'm just saying it would be useful just from a formatting perspective to start having kind of a master copy, and then we'll edit that master copy.
Yep, that's fine. Cavus.
Yes, could you go back to the decisions part?
They're just editing the first one right now.
The part that it is mentioned, ICG seek assurance from CWG.
No, that's the part that's getting deleted.
No, not the easy. Comments, but not assurance. There is no assurance because the issue is under CCWG and ICANN, and I don't think in Dublin anything would happen, and there is no assurance at all. So maybe comments from CWG whether or not the criteria are met.
Yep. Yeah, there we go. So... Yes, Mary, and then Norel.
Thank you, Mary, for the records. We talked about the principle and of our work. I don't know where that one comes in. The principle of sending comments to the operating communities. There were three or four things you listed. That would be the principle guiding the process of sending comments.
Right. So, what you're saying is that you want another decision listed that we decided.
Yeah, we decided.
Okay. We so what did we decide?
Yeah, okay.
We decided that Daniel. What did we decide, Daniel?
Yeah. So
we decided that when we're communicating with the operational communities, that we characterize the communications in four categories, and I think they were your idea, one editorial, four needs substantial process and public review, and two and three, I don't remember exactly how you formulated it, but you did it much better than I can now on the fly. And I think that's important to capture. And I believe also, and that's just my impression, that there was widespread support among in the room that when we communicate with the operational communities about their proposals, we also indicate the potential disposition of their answer. You know, and it's kind of related.
Okay. I think that's good enough, and we can also go back through the transcript to make sure we know what the action item, what the decision is, but good point, Mary. Thank you. Norel?
Sorry, this Norel Clark, for the record. This is just a minor semantic one, but to table means something different to me than it does to others. When you table a discussion for
We will wordsmith.
Can you just make that clear?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not really even a decision. It's like we decide not to talk about it today. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be on the agenda.
But we're definitely going to have it in. Yeah. So we're deferring the discussion.
Yes, it will be in Dublin.
Too.
It will be in Dublin.
I'm just getting confused.
Yes. Good point. Caboose? No. Okay. 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 So just the last item, the chairs have talked about the idea that maybe it would be a good idea for us as chairs to write a blog post this week to, update the world about our progress and, you know, have a little bit of good news. I think it would be good news. We made a lot of progress here. I think we think the proposal has community support and it should go forward, and we're aiming to finalize and staying on time and all that good stuff. Feel good blog post, if you will. But we wanted to check with people if they think that's okay, and we'll work through the comms team to figure out where to place it and so forth. Does anyone object to the blog post? Go ahead, Mary.
I think your PowerPoint presentation that you made is a good starting point. It summarized most of the thing, especially the statistics. Okay, I think it's a good thing, a good suggestion that we do that. We'll tell the world where we are and announce that we had over 60% support.
So, yeah, we can do that. I would want to kind of rerun the numbers a little bit and might not have time to do that before. I'd like to get the post out soon and get the numbers correct in the proposal, but might not, you know, we might need to be very vague and not give exact numbers in the blog post, but yeah. Okay. Daniel.
Yeah, I think the blog post is absolutely a good idea, and I support it should be done. I would be careful in... I would stress the achievements of this meeting. I would be careful in raising expectations about the timeline until we have actually agreed on a timeline. Yeah. And I don't think we have agreed on a timeline. So I just advise caution. That's all.
So Paul Jekfeldt from here. I think our intention was, exactly like Daniel is saying, is that we already had a discussion on what we chairs can speak about, and that is are things that we have actually decided upon. And as you say, Daniel, we see on the board the certain things we have decided upon, and those are our action points, and then those three decisions that are taken, and that's it. And we don't have to go into substance in a blog post. We just say we make progress. This is a process that converges. We're happy, and that's it, and nothing else. So as soon as we go into substance, that's not where we are. So thank you.
Joe?
Yeah, thank you, Joseph Aladov. Yeah, I just wanted to support Daniel on that in the sense that I had heard again finalize in Dublin, and I think those are dangerous words. Plus, I wonder whether we should have a two-block post strategy. Because I think the one blog post, I think keeping some of this in the public eye isn't a bad thing from a PR point of view. And I think the one blog post can talk about the comments we received, the review, the elements of this meeting. But if actually more information comes out after the next meeting that's coming up in a week or so, that might be the basis of another blog post, because we might actually have more information. So there could be a concept of you know, this could be a little bit of the stream that's getting us ready for Dublin, but just a thought. And the last thing, at one point or another, we had talked about the fact that it was useful for NTIA to give us any heads up they could related to us understanding our own process, and I just wonder if it's worth having a communication again, since there was a proposal out, and I don't think we've kind of heard much of anything from them as to what we need to pay attention to, if perhaps there's an informal communication from the chairs related to them, if there's any guidance they'd like to give us as we're looking to the edits, because if it comes in after Dublin, it's significantly less useful than if it comes in before.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think we can try to do that informally, probably. Okay, we will write a blog post this week for sure, and we will think about what if we need to do more comms activity after next week. So yeah. We're 3 minutes over, which means we need to finish because people need to go. I did get one request, which is that if people are not leaving tonight and you want to get together, go talk to Lynn. She's going to be the Lynn's going to be social queen tonight. No,
I'll be go social ahead. Director.
Lynn's going to be social director tonight. I'm getting on an airplane, so I'm leaving. But before we wrap up, once again, huge thank you to these fine ladies right here, the Secretariat. Many, many, many thanks to the interpreters who we made work over lunch. And to the tech team and the support staff. We had really good audio and everything, no glitches. And last but certainly not least, the scribes, without whom I would not be able to keep up with the meeting. So thank you. Wherever they are, scribes in the cloud. So thanks. And to all of you. I recorded a little video today for the ICANN website, and I think I said this group has hit its mojo or something ridiculous. But I really think that's true. I think we've, like, turned into a really effective working group. So thanks. I know. Thanks, everyone. See you in Dublin.